Now, it seems you can get a show about everything at the moment, from homes to food to anything you please. But in London, coming up on November the 4th and the 5th, there's actually a fertility show taking place. Close to home, delighted to welcome Cassie Everett, who's running her own Are Your Hormones Driving You Crazy workshops here in Bristol in November. How are you, Cassie?
I'm very well, thank you, Dr. Phil.
Well, can you just point the microphone slightly more to your mouth? So
yeah,
there you go.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally?
So I'm actually from South Wales originally.
Okay.
And I've been living in London for the last 15 years, but moved to Bristol last year. So quite new to Bristol.
And how long have you developed an interest in hormone problems and helping people cope with fertility problems naturally? How long have you been doing that for?
Probably the last 7 or 8 years, actually.
Okay. And how did you get into it?
Well, I'm a homeopath and I was getting a lot of women coming to see me with period-related problems.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I was really finding fantastic results from the treatment. And so,
what sort of things do you do? What sort of homeopathic remedies do you give for women with hormone and period problems? Does it depend on the woman, or does everyone with a period problem get the same remedy?
No, it's individualised to the person. And I also look at tailoring, you know, nutrition changes, you know, giving them nutritional advice, recommending herbs and supplements. So it's a holistic approach, basically.
And do you get lots of women coming to see you? How do they find out about you?
Yeah, I do get lots of women and couples coming to see me who are trying to get pregnant. Generally, it's through my website, through word of mouth, through other practitioners. Mm. Yeah.
It's really interesting because, as you probably know, they're cutting back and there are strong moves to ban all homeopathic treatment from the NHS. So it's very hard to get it on the National Health Service now because the people who look at it, the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, say they're not convinced it has an evidence base other than being a placebo. So you have a supportive relationship with your counsellor who looks after you, who gives you time to talk about your stress, but they don't believe that homeopathy adds anything more than placebo. Presumably you think differently.
Well, obviously, yes, yes. I mean, you know, homeopathic treatment is very, very low cost. Mm. So, and for some people it works, you know. Obviously, not everything works for everybody, but certainly if it helps some people, it's a low-cost treatment, so... Yeah.
I remember when I used to present Trust Me, I'm a Doctor on BBC Two, we went to the Royal Homeopathic Hospital in London and they lined up loads of patients who talked about the homeopathic treatment for all sorts of things, particularly rashes, and said how it had helped them. And the last person I interviewed was a chap who had lots of very disparate symptoms. His symptoms were all over the place and they weren't sure how to help him. So they'd given him an infinitesimally weak dilution of Berlin Wall to unite his symptoms. And it helped him.
Okay.
But that's clearly a very clever metaphorical placebo. It helped him because they thought it would help him, and it was combined with the loving relationship that they had. But is that the kind of thing that you think we should be doing on the NHS?
Well, I mean, I think whenever you take the time to listen to people, I think there's definitely benefits from that. So certainly, you know, lots of benefits can be you know, taken from that. I mean, certainly I think it would help, but the model that we have at the moment, you know, doctors don't have enough time, really.
No, 10 minutes in general practice, and patients say we just don't have enough time, particularly because people have quite complex problems now.
Absolutely.
You can't safely deal with them in 10 minutes, can you?
No, absolutely.
How long do you have with your patients?
Well, I generally, for the initial appointment, it's 1 to 1.5 hours. And then for the follow-up appointments, it's 45 minutes. And I think a great deal of benefit comes from, you know, being listened to, as well as, obviously, a holistic approach, you know.
What would you do for someone then? So the workshops you're doing about, your hormones driving me crazy, are you going to, is that for any woman at any time in her life? So it could be someone who's trying to get pregnant. It could be someone who's got terrible premenstrual tension or whatever. It could be someone towards their menopause.
Absolutely.
You deal with women at any stage of their life, do you?
Absolutely, yes. Yep.
Okay, and what sort of approaches? What would you do, for example, if someone said, look, I've been struggling to get pregnant for 2 years or something. I've had all the tests at the doctor. My husband or partner seems to have fully functioning sperm and they can't find anything. About 1/3 of fertility cases, they don't find a medical reason for it. What would you do?
Okay, so I would want to see both parties because obviously it's 50% sperm, 50% egg. So it's just as important to speak to both people involved. And I would ask them, obviously, in detail about all the testing they've had done and just look over all of that information. Then I would ask them about their their own health, mm-hmm. so any kind of current health conditions that they have going on outside of the fertility stuff. I would then ask them about their medical history, so in terms of what's happened to them over the years, as well as their family medical history, and just general things about them, what makes them unique and individual. And try and see if there were any, you know, points in their life where mm. they were ill, or any potential, mm. you know, causations or stresses that they have going on, or anything that could be holding their immune system back or lowering it in any way.
We know, I mean, there's quite strong evidence for alcohol and smoking. We know that they're generally not a great thing as you're trying to conceive and when you're pregnant. But most people you speak to now have almost like a 24/7 lifestyle. They take their phones to bed with them. They're tired and wired all the time. They're caffeinated up to the gills. They're very stressed. They're anxious. They're in debt. When you have all these things mounting up on you, do you think that affects your ability to conceive as well?
Absolutely. I'm sure in your experience you've seen that stress can lower your immune system. So I think it's the same, you know, and links to all sorts of health problems. I think stress is probably one of the number one problems that is facing people that are trying to get pregnant, because it basically, the stress hormones going out of balance, I think, can have a knock-on effect to the reproductive hormones, because the body will always sort of prioritize stress, because obviously if we're being chased by a tiger, that's all the body needs to do is run away. You know, it's not trying to digest or do anything else. So I think when people are in a chronic state of stress, that is potentially, you know, affecting them in other ways, you know.
So how do you get them to break that stress cycle? Because, again, when people get stressed, they also get stressed about, you know, what is their fertile time of the month, when the egg's being released, we have to have sex now, look at what the thermometer says. I mean, all that pressure to make love at certain times of the month because you think your fertility is high can actually build stress in itself. Do you tell people to forget all that just to try and create the time and space to look out for each other and relax a bit, rather than try and fit in quickly 15 minutes of trying to make a baby and then go back to doing all the stressful 87 emails you've got to do?
Certainly in some cases, yeah. But it's a case-by-case basis, you know. But certainly if people have been trying for a very long time, they're very stressed, the stress of trying to get pregnant is almost enough to stop you from falling pregnant, potentially. Mm. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's about talking to people about strategies to, you know, rekindle, you know, make time for each other again, perhaps have weekends away, you know, just helping people to learn to relax again and maybe like leave their mobile phone outside of the bedroom and, you know, try and find ways to relax more. Because I do think, you know, culturally we're really, you know, more and more stressed generally, you know, with social media, you know, it's just like we're constantly being stimulated, aren't we?
And we also don't eat a great diet, do we? We eat a lot of sugars and processed foods, which we know, as well as probably being linked to obesity, they're just not great for you. We know that your gut is like a garden. It likes a wide variety of different healthy foods. And most people eat quite a narrow range of foods, don't they? What nutritional approaches do you use for people with hormone problems, whether it's bad PMT or trouble with fertility? What do you recommend in terms of their diet?
Well, it's a really good point, because I think, you know, increasingly, you know, people are not eating very well. So I would recommend, you know, reducing inflammatory foods like sugar, you know, wheat, so white carbohydrates, you know, and fried foods, and just generally trying to bring inflammation down, because that will help naturally bring up and balance hormones.
And instead eat, what, lots of fruit and veg and
yeah,
nuts and seeds and olive oil and all
absolutely.
That other stuff?
Absolutely, yeah, just really get back to kind of, yeah, the basics really, yeah.
So in these particular workshops that you're running, do they each workshop have a different topic, or are you expecting women at any stage of life with any particular hormone problem to come? Or are you doing one just about fertility, one just about premenstrual tension?
These two that I'm doing in November are generally about all sorts of hormone imbalance. So talking about why our hormones go wrong and what we can do to help and bring them back into balance so that women are not experiencing the problems that they're having.
Many of our listeners are at the age where they will know or be going through or just have been through terrible hot flushes and night sweats. And for some, the menopause or perimenopause seems to last for years. What sort of advice do you give to those to help them cope with those very unpleasant menopausal symptoms?
Well, again, you know, the treatment is always individualised to the person, so I can't recommend specific remedies. But certainly, I do think that, you know, obviously as women age, their hormones naturally decline. So I think going back to your point before about stress hormones, you know, women almost have to work harder at managing their stress levels, because I think that has a knock-on effect with their reproductive hormones. So, you know, cleaning up your diet and, you know, potentially looking at some herbs and homeopathic remedies as well would be really, really beneficial.
OK, and if people want to find out more and come to one of your workshops, what do they need to do?
OK, so all they need to do is go to my website, which is cassieeverett.com, and my fertility website is fertilityrejuvenation.com.
OK.
And if they go onto my events page, then all the information is there. So on Thursday the 7th, it'll be at Bakesmith's, which is on White Ladies Road, and then also the second time...
21st of November.
21st of November, thank you.
Almavale Centre.
The Almavale
Centre. Almavale Road,
yeah,
thank you.
And that's in the evening, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Cassie, for taking the time to come and talk to us about that approach, and good luck with those workshops.
Thank you so much.